When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts on the mind of a cartoonist. So today's essay was inspired by a classroom experience that that has been evolving over the last couple months as I've been doing tons and tons of teaching. Now, I'm not going to talk about the classroom experience because I got an announcement to make about that later on. As I've said in the last couple episodes, I've made a decision to separate out my observations in teaching into a separate project and make Thunder Punch Daily once again much more focused on actual talking about how to make comics, after all. But this is one of the great things about teaching is that it gives you the opportunity to investigate why you do what you do and how you do what you do. And I was doing a character design exercise that resulted in this really cool, simple way of thinking about expressing emotion in your characters. Now, I want to underline the word simple. This is not a sophisticated or deep exercise, but this is a way to think about body language on our characters, how to emphasize body language as being a key into revealing story data, information about your story, about in terms of the way the characters are reacting to things, the emotional information. What is this character's inner life? How does this character react to the thing that was done without saying, well, we can go back to something, a criticism I've leveled at writers like J.K. Rowling. I think that's the way you're supposed to pronounce it, Rowling, not Rowling. How American of me. Is that she would say in her novels, Harry was mad, which I, as a fan of writers who lived in the early 20th century and before that, I get frustrated and say, don't say that he was mad, make me say he's mad. Describe the situation in such a way as to make me go, wow, he's really mad, without the word mad being used by the author. And that's kind of upon us in comics as well, the show don't tell thing. Now, of course, we do tell lots of things in comics. If you did an entirely show don't tell, nobody would talk. It would just be a bunch of pantomime, although you can do that. You know, you look at, here's my book recommendation today, The Bakers by Kyle Baker. One of the greatest cartoonists living today did a book that's primarily pantomime, meaning no words, just acted out in the character's faces. Great book to study for that kind of thing. But how do you simplify it down? How do you think about it? Well, if you think about the emotion words, feelings words, words like frustrated, flummoxed, elated, jubilant, excited, anticipating, pensive, all of these words can be roughly assigned to two categories, either powerful or powerless. And there's some words that can be interpreted in either category, and that's for you, the author, to decide which version of that. So if I say confused, you could be confused in a powerful way, like, that's interesting, let's solve this problem, or confused in a powerless way, like, oh my gosh, I don't know what's going on, I'm so confused. What's going to happen? What shall become of us now? Right? So certain words, yes, before anybody contradicts me on this oversimplification, which I've already said is an oversimplification, yes, some words fit into both categories, but a lot of words like defiant, I defy you. I'm not going to stand for this one moment longer. That's a powerful emotion. That is an emotion imbued with power. I'm going to do something. And then there's lonely. That's a powerless pose. I'm all alone. Where is everybody? How come I'm here by myself? What did I do to merit this situation? Oh, woe is me. And you can extrapolate out these two categories into the character's spine. I've talked about this before, the spine being one of the big clues into body language and how a character feels. And again, following on this oversimplification, this is a starting point for thinking about body language for your characters. If it's a powerless pose, typically spine is pointed down. spine is going to be hunched downwards. Head is going to be lower than the shoulders to some degree, or approaching, the neck is going to be pointed forward. The shoulders are going to be sloped. But you could imagine the spine as a line coming up from the hips, approaching up towards the shoulders, and then curving back down again. Powerful poses, the opposite, spine up. So coming up from the hips, you're drawing the line straight, and then the arc rolls back as it gets closer to the shoulders and to the neck. Neck is up high, head is up high. There's a Simpsons episode I think about. I think it's the one, I think it's called Homer the Vigilante, I think. But in any case, it's the episode where he forms a vigilante group of peacekeepers because Chief Wiggum is fired because he's so inept at his job as the police chief. So Homer forms an organization called Spring Shield. And he cleans up the town, cleans up crime, and he becomes a local hero. And there's this moment where Marge says to Bart and Lisa, hold your heads up high, kids. And then they both stand up straight and you hear this cracking noise. And Bart says, I didn't know our spines could go up this high. And Lisa says, oh, yeah, that's the pride. That's what I'm talking about, is powerful poses tend to be up. So defiant, again, chest out, shoulders back, arms akimbo, hands on the hips kind of deal, saying, no, I won't stand for this a moment longer. Or it could be a bit of a negative emotion. Don't confuse powerful and powerless with positive and negative emotions, because you can have spine up poses, powerful poses being, oh, no, you didn't. Oh, no, you didn't eat all my golden grams, right? That is still a spine up pose, even though it is a negative emotion. It's an accusatory, I'm going to punch you in the face kind of emotion. Where, and also powerless poses can be a positive emotion as well. The spine down could be somebody shuffling off to bed. Oh, I'm so tired and I just can't wait to hit the bed. I'm going to sleep forever and ever. And you're smiling softly as your lids are all droopy. You are pleasantly anticipating a long night's sleep. That's still a spine down, but that's a powerless pose. That is not somebody who is marching in to do something powerful. That's somebody who is off to retire, who's going to sleep. So you see what I'm getting at here. It's not positive or negative emotions. It's powerful and powerless. And you could take any emotion word that you want, and you can probably put it into one of those two categories, and then you have that spine as your first clue for building a gesture, a body language to express that idea. Pensive is a powerless pose. So spine down, whether they're sitting or whether they're, curled up on the ground. A curled up on the ground pose, I would suppose, is very rarely a powerful pose. I'm hard-pressed to think of an example now of something that would look powerful while laying on the ground. Well, if you're, like, chained to the ground or something, right? You're chained to the ground, you're wrestling with all your might to try to break those bonds. You're probably going to be doing chest out, spine up kind of situation. Although if you're doing sit-ups very fiercely, that's spine down. Now, let's talk about some exceptions to this real quick, just to quell any naysayers who are getting kind of hung up on an oversimplification of an idea. Remember, this is a starting point for a thinking exercise or a drawing exercise, is Wolverine. Wolverine is typically in an animalistic pose. He's hunched over. He's coming at you with his claws forward. He is lunging at you, or he's creeping towards you. A bad guy, a powerful bad guy, like Annihilus from Marvel Comics, is hunched over like a gorilla as he's lurching towards you. Yes, that is a powerful pose with spine down. That's an exception to the rule. But that again, is leaning more towards an animalistic pose. Boss leaning over you at the boardroom table, spine down, right? So, of course, this isn't going to work 100% of the time with everything, but in a general sense, you can think of spine up, spine down as corresponding to powerful and powerless poses, respectively. So if any of you are struggling with a particular pose, you can go to this as a starting point and see where it gets you, and I'd be happy to hear what your results are, or see what your results are. You can always post them in the Art and Story Tumblr account, which is on the Art and Story website, artandstorypodcast.com. If you don't have a login, just send me an email, artandstory@gmail.com. Say, hey, I'd like access to the Tumblr account, and I can set you up with that. I just have to send you a little email invite, and then boom, you can start posting images there right away. We can show off to the whole world the kind of neat stuff that we are learning about and practicing because we are a good-hearted and determined group of storiers who want to, improve our craft all the time. So who am I? I'm Jersey Droz, jdroz.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thank you very much for supporting us in this project. We couldn't do it without you. I've got some announcements to make, and that's why I was wrapping this essay up short, because I got a handful of things that I want to point people at that's coming up in the coming weeks. One, the thing I hinted at the top of this one about separating out my teaching experiences from my from Thunder Punch Daily, I've moved them to a irregularly updating thing called Fabulous Secrets, which you can find at, it's actually at comicsaregreat.com. It's in the podcast feed there. You can find it there. There's also a posterous if you want to just get it right there. It's fabulousSecrets.posterous.com. It's going to be, if any of you are really interested in hearing my thoughts on teaching, if you're interested in starting up comics programming of your own, leading workshops of your own, or if you just find the thoughts on my classroom experiences as being interesting as an insight into another way of looking at this comics making jazz, you can check that out. There's only two episodes up so far, but I am going to start updating that on an irregular basis as I find the time. The other thing is I want to point people at is Ignite Great Lakes. Now, let me look up the address real quick. I think it's igniteshow.com/Great Lakes. This coming Saturday, July 30th at, 8:15 p.m. Eastern Time, they're going to be streaming the Ignite event. I'm going to be doing my Comics Are Great talk there again. Now, a lot of you probably have heard my Comics Are Great talk. It's a 5-minute talk, 20 slides, 15 seconds a slide, where I just do a brief little essay about how comics are good for you to read and why they're good in and of themselves. It's nothing you haven't heard before from me, but if you want to, give me a little pat in the back or a little show of support, you could help spread the word about that. Because, and here's the reason I bring it up. Not for me, but because the reason I'm doing this talk is for comics' sake. I just want to get the word out about why comics are so great, get more people to maybe go to their, the talk ends with me imploring the audience to go to their local bookstore or library or comic store and pick up some comics and try reading them. So, if you could tell anybody in your life who you've ever tried to convince that comics are great and they are, have been a little bit reluctant to take the dive, I've got a 5-minute talk where I will blast their brains with a million reasons why that is, why they should give it a try. So that's why I'm asking you to help spread the word about that. That's at igniteshow.com/Great Lakes. And it's kind of cool that I get to do this talk again that I was asked to. I must have done an okay job on the first time around. More updates to come. There's a secret thing that I'm working on with a friend, and this ties in very much with art and story in general. It's not an art and story branded project, but it is definitely sort of a next logical step of 4 years of doing the art and story show and shows like Comics Great and shows like Thunder Punch Daily. So pay attention to the old Twitter feed and or the art and story forum or the art and story podcast in general. The regular show, we'll be making some announcements about that in the next probably month or so. But one of the reasons that I haven't mentioned on the show that I've been so darn busy over the last 6 months is right, even beyond Kids Read Comics, I and some other folks have had our heads down working really hard on developing this new project that will be hopefully released this fall. I feel very certain it will be released this fall, and it's going to be a very, very exciting thing. I'm super stoked about it. It's something I've wanted to do for years. So that's my first little hint about that. I actually dropped some hints in some other audio projects, so some of you might know vaguely what I'm talking about. So I think that's it. That's it for announcements. Oh, new episode of Comics Are Great just got posted. Episode 19 is on comicsaregreat.com, and this coming Wednesday I'll be recording episode 21. It'll be live at 12:30 p.m. Eastern time at comicsaregreat.tv. You can watch it on Ustream as it's recorded live, and you can even participate in the chat. I'm going to have Dave Roman on again and Kevin Coppa, who created a series of YouTube videos called Avatar The Last Puppet Bender. And if any of you are a fan of Avatar The Last Airbender, I encourage you to check out those videos online on YouTube. They're really funny. And Kevin Coppa is going to come on with the puppets to talk a little bit about making fan material right? Fan stories and how he does the Puppet Bender stuff. So I will be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. And until then, remember, everybody.
Today, Orko was being chased by an evil robot. Orko was very frightened. But in the end, he overcame his fear and helped He-Man defeat the robot. All of us are frightened at one time or another, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. Fear is natural. It makes us aware of possible danger. Without fear, we'd wind up in all kinds of trouble. So never feel guilty because you're afraid. Listen to your fears. They'll help you stay out of trouble. Until later. Bye now.